What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. This episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by the Moultrie Mobile Feed Hub. How many times have you gone to check your deer feeder only to realize that it wasn't working properly and your well-planned hunt would be a waste of time because there's no telling how long it had been empty or clogged? Well, the Feed Hub solves all of these problems by bringing the power and convenience of cellular technology directly to your deer feeder. With the Feed Hub, you have complete control over feed times and you can rest easy knowing your feeder is working properly and you'll be ready for your next hunt. The Feed Hub's universal design means it'll work with most major brands of feeders. And you can learn more information at MoultrieMobile.com. Hey guys, I'm Cameron Stover from Hunting Gear Deals. Today I'm going to be joined by Jason Ray, the lead developer for WiseEye. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
And thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to learning more about your guys' product line and the technology that you've incorporated into the trail camera market. So without further ado, kind of where did WiseEye come from and what do you guys do?
So I tell people we are the accidental trail camera company. We started out making feeders. So years ago, we were challenged by some people we knew in the USDA and other places to build a species-specific feeder that could specifically solve the wild pig problem and poison wild pigs. But it had to be able to do that without feeding anything else because you can't feed poison to the other animals. And we came up with a variety of ways to solve that. Our original one actually used microphones and it would listen for pigs grunting and it would open doors on a machine. And eventually we got to using visual recognition. So this is years before your phone would unlock with your face or any of that type of visual recognition that we're all familiar with today. This was a long time before that. And we built a species-specific feeder that could open and shut the doors and feed animals based on what they were. And we were just a little too early to the market on that. And the device was too expensive for anybody but the government. Is the best way to think of it. And the problem is the government has no incentive to solve this problem because as soon as they solve the wild pig problem, all the grant money goes away. And so they don't want to solve the problem. They want their grant money. So we realized very quickly that we have a product and a technology and we have no customer. So we did for a while make some deer feeders. And we would love to get back to doing those. We have plans in the future to get back to doing something similar. But we did for a while make deer feeders. And it occurred to us that what we really have is we have a great trail camera solution because we can take a picture and we can know everything about that picture. And again, this is a long time before anybody else had gotten into that space. So we decided to marry that with the trail camera. And what we found out really quickly is there was no camera on the market, cellular camera, that was sending a quality enough image for us to use. Because when you do species recognition, you need good data coming in order to find the deer. If the deer just looks like a clump of pixels in the corner, you're not gonna be able to say that's a deer consistently. So we had to give it a bigger image. So we went with this idea of we need a camera that delivers the biggest, clearest image on the market. And that's what we went to the market with, is our very first camera at the time averaged 5 times bigger images than everybody else. And still to this day, we're 2 to 3 times everybody else. So the market has kind of caught up with us a little bit in some respects, but we send the biggest, clearest image because that's what our system needed. And then after that, after you get that image, we run all types of analytics on that image to tell you what was in the image, why he was in the image, and when he's coming back to that spot. And we really are very much focused on what happens after you get your picture. We don't just want you to get pretty pictures. So,
okay. So I've gotten really sloppy with my organization once cellular trail cameras became more popular. Back in the day, mm-hmm. when I was just running a standard camera, I would download the photos, I would organize them into every location and then break it down mm-hmm. by bucks. And I was way more methodical about my approach on how to use trail cameras. Now that I've got cell cameras, I've just kind of been lazy and be like, oh, that buck's here yesterday, he's probably going to be here today. So that, I'm kind of curious. I want to dive into this and how you guys utilize the software and this recognition system to kind of predict deer movement and patterns and kind of what's there. So yeah, let's just dive into it. Like, what all can this camera do once it takes a photo?
Yeah, and I think you're describing a situation a lot of people find themselves in. It's when you had the SD card, it was almost easier to keep it organized because you take all the pictures off the SD card, you'd put them in one place and you knew where they all were. But with cell cams, the pictures just come in randomly. They come in the middle of the night, right? And it's hard to go back and do that data. And a lot of times it's the interfaces are hard to navigate. When the picture comes in, the first thing we do is we do species recognition. We tell you what's in that image. Currently we do that. I say species recognition, we should say just recognition, because currently we do that with deer. We'll also tell you if it's an antler deer or not. We'll tell you if it's a turkey, if it's a hog, if it's a predator, any type of predator. We'll also tell you if it's an other. We just call those others. That's the raccoons and armadillos and things like that. We call those others. And it will tell you if it's a person or a vehicle, which is something that a lot of people like, because I really want to know if there's somebody on my spot that's not supposed to be there. So we'll tell you if it's a person or if it's a vehicle. Very, very soon, we will tell you a lot more than that. So I have 30 more categories that are going to be optional. I'm not going to force them on you because that would be just overwhelming, but you'll be able to go in and enable additional categories if you want in the very near future. And some of those include exotics, some exotics that I had never seen before we started this process, this thing. I now know everything there is to know about some of these exotic species. So, but once we know what's in the image, we already know where the image was taken because half of our cameras have GPS in them. And the other ones, you just tell me when you put the camera in the app where you're going to set it. And so I know where the image is taken. I know what's in the image. I can use that information to go out and find out what the weather was like. And then I can start building out charts. And I could build out historical data and show you, okay, when it was rainy outside, what kind of deer activity did you have? Or when the moon phase was in the first quarter, what type of deer activity? I can go historical. And then once I have enough historical data, I can let AI go forward in time and say, okay, based on what you've seen on this site, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen in 5 days based on the weather? And the big difference here, there's a couple of people trying to do that, but typically they do it with kind of static predictions. So for instance, they'll make some assumptions. They'll say on a full moon, deer move. On a full moon, deer don't move. Whatever it is, they'll make that assumption and they'll just look forward in time and say, okay, there's a full moon, deer going to move. I don't make that assumption. I actually base it off of what happened with your data. And so you end up with some really weird predictions, but they typically work. So I had a stand that everything was counterintuitive. The deer moved on the wrong winds. They moved in the wrong weather. They moved at the wrong temperature. They didn't know they were moving at the wrong time, but they were. All conventional wisdom said they were moving at the wrong time. But our system was able to see the pattern anyway and say, hey, you know what? We know it looks wrong, but here's the time to go. And sure enough, we went out there and shot a nice little buck. So that's the way we approach it is we really want to give you information based on your images. I'm not basing it on everybody else's images or what some famous hunter thinks you should do. It's actually based on your images. And that is such a unique thing that we were actually able to patent it. So we own the patent on giving a prediction based on your images. So that's a big differentiator. If you see predictions anywhere else, they're not based on your images. They're just based on some other data out there. They're not based on your data. So that's the way we approach it. We make it very easy then to see. So truthfully, you don't really even need the pictures anymore. You really just need the charts and you need the predictions to know when to go hunt. You really don't. I mean, looking at the picture just becomes fun. You don't have to do it. It's not part of the job anymore. We do that job for you. So.
Yeah, man, there's a lot more to this than what I anticipated. So for somebody that's really interested in learning more about maybe the property that they're hunting, whether they own it, whether it's public or whatever the case may be, like this seems like a pretty good tool that most of us aren't probably utilizing.
Yeah, it's we very much are focused on the idea of conservation and management. So what the cell cam industry has been accused of is making hunting too easy. And my contention to that is I don't make hunting easier. I make hunting properly easier. I make it easier to know that you're shooting the right deer at the right time in the right place. Because previously it was very difficult to know that, right? You would have a deer come out and you're totally basing the decision to shoot him or not based on his size or what, or based on whether you have meat in the freezer. Now you can base that on the fact that you know this is the right deer to shoot. And so we're trying to really get data driven. So yeah, like I said, property management is what we're about. We've become the favorite software of many of the deer ranches and the outfitters because they can truly know what's going on and not just making assumptions based on, you know, this, that, or the other. So
most hunters don't have enough cellular trail cameras like an outfitter would. I mean, I've got more than what I need. Now, are these cameras able to link together and like track a particular buck, or is it just this stand location, antlered buck versus doe?
So you can go in or out on the data as much as you want. So you can zoom in on one camera and say, I want to see the activity at that one camera location. You can zoom out and see the entire property if you want, or all of the cameras in your account if you have multiple properties, or you can even group the cameras. So I have a food plot on my property that's way too large for one camera. And since I happen to know some people with cameras, I have a few on that spot. And so I actually just grouped all those. So I don't look at those as camera one, camera two. I just look at South food plot and I can see all of the cameras in there. So we kind of made it to where you can zoom in or out depending on how many you have. Our average user only has two cameras. So while we are the favorite of the ranches and we're gathering more and more, we have hundreds and hundreds of ranches that use this now. Like I said, our average guy still just has two cameras. And they're not even, surprisingly enough, even though we're a Southern company, a lot of our users are Northeast based. And so they're not even using them on feeders and things like we do down here in the South. They're using them on trails. Some of them are even using them behind people's houses and neighborhoods. Because that's just the way that it's a different style of hunting up there than it is down here where we have hundreds of acres to go hunt, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the cool thing about whitetail deer is they've been able to adapt to every circumstance and environmental condition in which we've thrown at them, whether it's inside the city limits or whether it's on a 10,000 acre ranch in South Texas.
Oh, it's crazy to me to see the difference in images we get. We'll have customers send us images from South Texas where, I mean, you look like you're looking at a desert and there's just a giant deer standing in the middle of it. And we'll get images from the snow. We have some in national parks, or we get images from these beautiful, beautiful spots right outside the national parks. But then, yeah, I've got a guy, one of our beta testers is actually in the Northeast. And he sends me pictures all the time. And he's like, hey, look at this beautiful 12 point. It's right behind this little old lady's house. I'm like, that's just weird to me, man. Like, that's not the way it works down here. So,
yeah, I mean, look at the guys from Seek One. They've made a really good living in this industry by shooting giant deer inside the city. So,
yeah, I watched their video where they shot a deer. He was hunting over a homeless encampment, and he shot a deer like looking one way. He's looking at these homeless people living in the woods, and looking the other way, he's shooting a trophy buck. I'm like, this is just weird, man. So,
yeah,
the deer are everywhere.
They are. I mean, and a lot of times people see that as a nuisance, but as hunters, man, we love it. That's what we're here for.
I'm currently trying to figure out in my backyard, I have a couple of acres and I'm actually right on the city limits, but in my backyard, which backs up to somebody else's property, I've got 6 deer walking around every night. And nobody believes me because I'm so close to the city, but I got 6 nice deer walking around every single night. And I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to get him. I'm going to shoot him without him jumping that property line, but I'm going to figure it out eventually. So.
Yeah, so like our local municipality, they have an urban deer season, and luckily I've been able to get tags for that. And then we get like 7 extra tags per year once you get drawn for it. But I've killed some really nice bucks inside the city limits in a county that doesn't produce big deer because of birthday cake. They don't get old enough, except for in these protected areas. So it's been pretty nice for me.
No, I mean,
So let's keep going. So I've got this information, and you kind of answered one of my questions. How many cameras does it take to get this data and predict it? So how much time does it need? If you only need 1 or 2 cameras to start doing these predictions and charting this, how much historical data does it need to make predictions?
Obviously, the more the better. So I can take as much as you want. I have people that have been using it for 6 years, and when they do a prediction, they do it based on 6 years of data. I don't know if that's a recommendation for everybody, but I tell people 2 weeks. So if you put the camera out and you have decent activity, so more than a deer a night, if you have decent activity, in about 2 weeks, I can start building some good predictions. And that falls in line with most people. Most people, you know, they get their cameras out a month or so before hunting season when they're out there, you know, cleaning up their stands, knocking the wasp out of their stands, things like that. They'll make sure all their cameras are up and running. So that fits really well with their timeline. I usually get about a month of good data before hunting season starts.
Okay. So, and then you talked about even being able to backdate up to 6 years. So this chart, I haven't seen the back end of it to actually see this. So if I'm looking at it, can I set those time frames and then only look at the month of November for 3 or 4 years prior in this location versus September through January? Can I set those criteria?
Yeah. So you can set the time range, you can set the time range everywhere, and we're actually working on adding more options to do that. So when you're looking at historical data, you can set the window of time that you're looking at. When you're using our predictor, you can actually tell the predictor what historical data to use when it makes this prediction moving forward. So you can say, I only want to use the month of November, or I only want to use the last 2 weeks, which that's a really popular one. We start getting close to the rut. Yeah, I really don't want August's data in there. I want closer to the rut data in there, right?
You're exactly right. I'm going to vent about something. A lot of these studies that we see come out, it's like, oh, deer movement, and these are all these predictions, and it's kind of trying to nip all the user, like the hunters' predictions and what we've seen in the woods, trying to kind of nip that in the butt and say, oh, deer move all the time. But a lot of these studies, if they're not based in the time frame in which you're hunting, they don't really apply to the same situation, whether it be bedding areas and deer migration patterns for mule deer, whatever the case may be. Like, those time frames are so important as the deer season changes from the bachelor groups of the early season towards the pre-rut, during the peak of the rut when deer are just absolutely going crazy, then to post-rut, and then when they're trying to feed and survive the late season. So it's really important for me to have the information in a timely manner. But man, that historical data is really impressive.
Yeah. So the historical data, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. The historical data is useful when you want to look at wide ranges. So if you want to see that the kind of average activity on a property over the last couple of years, you want a lot of historical data. But if you really want to target one deer and you're trying to find out when that one deer is coming back to that site, you really want to zoom in on that last couple of weeks of activity. You want to pay attention to weather changes. One of the filters we're working on now is going to help you filter by time plus weather. So it's going to let you filter into, okay, I want the last 2 weeks of data, but only when it was in this temperature range. Because in a lot of our cases, they, as soon as that weather really starts dropping fast, their movement changes. And so I don't want you looking at your data and going, well, you know, it was hot 2 weeks ago. I don't want that data in there. So we want to let you play with all the factors that might be affecting your deer. And of course, if you don't want to get that granular, you can just go to our prediction page and hit predict, and it'll run it automatically. And it usually comes up pretty accurate. So you can kind of go as advanced or as basic as you want. I would say our average user probably isn't in there tweaking every little time parameter, but they're still getting what they want out of the program. Somebody like me or you, we're probably going to be in there. I mean, I'll sit there for hours before I go out. Like, okay, should I, if I play with this, what happens, you know? And I could see those predictions really well.
So wind is going to be one of the key factors that I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that we can look at wind direction and where, how the deer are traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Is moon phase one of them, whether you agree moon or phase, believe yep. the moon. Okay. Moon's part of that. And then weather temperature. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then when you go to the predictor comes up with its own categories. So it doesn't go back, and that's what I was saying earlier. It doesn't go back and look and say, oh, deer move on the moon because somebody told me it does. It goes back to your data and says, I saw movement increase when this happened. And then it tests that theory. And it, so for instance, maybe the movement increased dramatically when the wind changed from the south to the north. The predictor will go back and look at it and say, okay, well, let me look at every other time that the wind changed to the north and see if it's consistent. Did the movement always increase when the wind changed to the north? If the answer is yes, then the predictor will start looking for north winds moving forward. So it determines what the factor is that you're missing. Now with that said, if you want to go in there and run a prediction based on moon phase, you can do it. You can go in there. There's a checkbox. You just hit moon phase and it'll add moon phase in the prediction. But by default, it finds its own parameters. It does the research for you. Because like we talked about, different environments too. You know, it's not only time of year or wind or moon phase, but environments will change a lot of things too. And so for instance, my deer in my area, they get hunted hard starting December 1st because all the properties around me allow dog hunting. My property doesn't. So starting December 1st, the activity goes nuts. Actually, my property increases because I don't allow dog hunting. All of their activity decreases because they do. So by looking at the factors kind of without any pre-made assumptions, I can build you better predictions. If I had a pre-made assumption that deer move based on moon phase, then I'm going to tell you something that may not be true in your particular case, right?
Yeah, man, that I really like where this is going, and I'm only kicking myself now because I haven't used it for myself. And I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, how many times have I been checking trail cameras or checking cell right. cameras? And I look at a buck that I'm wanting to hunt, and I'm like, why the heck was he here at this time, this day? Yep. And sometimes it's random. But man, if I have a technology out there that can help me predict and point those environmental factors and conditions together and predict that why he was there, man, that could be, I hate to use the term game changer because that's an overused term, but man, that sounds like a pretty good setup.
But, and like I said, that goes back to, I want you shooting the right deer, right? So I had a buddy of mine that was, this is years ago before we got our system out and live, but there was a deer he'd been tracking on camera all summer. He wanted to shoot that deer. He knew that was the best deer. That was the most mature buck. That was the one that needed to be shot. And he hunted well in the beginning of the season. But about halfway through the season, he was having no luck at seeing that deer. So he would thought, okay, this is going to be my last trip. He shoots a deer. And then 2 weeks later, gets to make another trip and sees the big buck that he wanted. And he's like, I would have never shot the other one if I had known I was going to have a chance to shoot him. And that's kind of, we want you making the right decisions. You talk about kicking yourself. So our system will sometimes aggravate you. So I've told this story before, but my wife, we have two kids. My wife loves to hunt, but she doesn't get to go much because of the two kids. They're still little. So a couple of years ago, her parents offered, hey, we'll take the kids. Y'all go hunting. Well, what she didn't know is I had already been in the predictor, and I knew that the 10 point that I really, really, really wanted was coming out on my north stand the next morning. Like the predictor said, he's going to be there 9 a.m. And the north stand's a one-man stand. There's no way my wife's going to fit in there with me. And so she goes, well, hey, baby, I got childcare set up so I can go hunting with you. I'm like, well, the only two-man stand is on the south end of the property. I'm not going to see him there. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do the good husband thing. And we went and we got there and the weather turned terrible. I'm like, oh, well, the predictor was wrong. The weather's terrible. We're not going to see that deer. Sure enough, 9 o'clock, I get a picture on my phone. I'm sitting on the other end of the property. I get a picture on my phone from the north stand. There he is in all his glory, standing broadside to the stand. And I'm kicking myself going, you know, I should never second guess the predictor just to make my wife happy. So moral of the story is about 15 minutes later, a big doe came out and she had no chance because I was mad. So she's in the freezer, but
I understand. So there's a deer, you probably can't even see it, but he's at the top of this skull hook.
Oh yeah. It's beautiful.
And, he's a salvage tag deer. I didn't kill him, but he was walking by my stand for like 2 days in a row and I couldn't get off work. And, I told my boss, I was like, hey, is there any chance that I can get off work tomorrow? I said, this deer's going to be here. Sure enough, that deer was there, but I was at work because I couldn't get off. And when you have those patterns and that predictability and you know the game plan going in, there's nothing better, nothing more rewarding when you put all those pieces of the puzzle together and then it all comes together as you predicted. Right. Nothing better.
Oh, that is absolutely the best. And you know, what we love the most with our stuff is it makes it easier for people to get new people into hunting. And so we get so many success stories where, hey, I was able to take my grandchild hunting. I was able to take my grandfather hunting and have them be successful. And so now those are new hunters that, you know, if I take a 8-year-old and I get him his first deer, he's hooked, right? He's not going anywhere. He's going to be a hunter for life. And that's what we want. We want to see this move to the next generation. And so by incorporating some tech, we're able to help that process.
Hey, let me interrupt this podcast episode real quick and talk about huntinggeardeals.com. If you're interested in saving money on hunting gear, there's no better place on the web. Basically, what huntinggeardeals.com does is scour the web for discounted products on hunting gear and shares them in one convenient location. So type in huntinggeardeals.com in your web browser and sign up for the daily deal email so you never miss a deal. Now, back to the show. Absolutely. And let's face it, like, we don't have free time like we used to. You look generationally, like, everything shut down for the week of deer season where I'm from originally because everybody didn't want to go to work. So coal industry, they just shut down for the week. It doesn't happen anymore. Like, you have to plan out your, if you've got 2 weeks of vacation, your family gets 1.5 of those weeks and you get a few days to hunt. So being able to utilize your time management skills and predict deer movement and just capitalize on that, hunt less, but be more efficient and effective when you're in the woods, man, you can't beat that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
So we've got you have your own cameras as well.
Yep.
Will other trail cameras from other brands, can you import that data into it?
So right now, or not? Right now you can manually import. So you can bring SD cards. And a matter of fact, if you have a subscription with one of our cameras, you get unlimited SD card cameras as well. So you can keep your cheap Walmart SD card cameras that usually work just fine. And you can import those images manually, and the image, the object detection and the predictive analytics, all that will still run on those images. So yes, you can bring those cameras in with SD cards. We do have a couple of users that manually import their cell cam images. That's a little bit of a difficult, but time consuming task. We are fully open to having other camera manufacturers in our system. We would always prefer to build the system and not the cameras. The cameras is the hardest part to build here. So we would have always preferred to build the system and not the cameras. So we always are exploring that. But as of right now, you have to manually import other cameras.
Okay. So there's no teamwork or anything like that right now. But you guys have your own cameras. So let's talk about those cameras. If I'm going to utilize your system and you guys have a high quality camera, you said you're taking great images.
Yep.
What kind of cellular trail cameras do you have on the market available to the consumer so we can fully utilize this entire system?
Yeah. So this is our, and I'll hold it up just for people to see. This is our current line of cameras are both based off this platform. So this is actually our mini cam is what we call this. There is another version. It looks very similar to this, but it has two external antennas, and it has a built-in GPS, and that one we call our data cam. And we called it that just to reiterate that we're really all about the data. And so both of these, I mean, these are just great cameras. They're very, very robust. Our average lifespan is well over 2 years now on our cameras. I've got some of our first generation cameras that have been out for 7 years in the woods. They've never been inside one time. They've been through a hurricane and a tornado. They're still out there. So they're very, very robust cameras. What we start with is we start with the image. So even on our cheapest cameras, we're using a 3-megapixel native sensor. And so that sounds technical, but what you need to know is that that word native is important. There's two ways that you get megapixels. One is natively. So natively means when I take an image, I actually collect 3 million data points inside that image. And that's how I build the image. That's what megapixel means. It means million pixels. So I collect 3 million pixels and I make an image from there. And so when I send you an image, it's beautiful because I had 3 million pixels to start with. What was traditional in the trail camera industry was to use a very small native sensor. So you would start with maybe 100,000 pixels or maybe 500,000 pixels, and you would try to stretch that out. And you end up with it with a garbage image. It's a process called interpolation. And so I can take an image that started life as 1 million pixels, and I can say, ooh, I have a 32-megapixel camera. And so what they did is they took 1 million pixels and they stretched it to 32 million, and the computer made 31 million guesses in the middle. And you end up with these garbage images. So we are not all about the megapixels. Truthfully, nobody sends a big picture to your phone anyway. We send the biggest, and ours is right under 1.5 megapixels that we send to your phone. And that makes us by far the biggest in most cases. So we start with that 3-megapixel native sensor. That gives you a beautiful, clear image. One of the things you can look at when you actually see our sitting next to other people is typically our lens is actually larger diameter. It means we allow more light into the image. So everything we've done about this camera is focused on durability and image quality. We want to work for you long term. These have been great. These are one of the highest review cameras out there. And we have our new ones actually about to come online. And since we're close enough to debut, we can go ahead and bring those out too.
We had a breaking news, noise sound effect. This would be it.
So this is our replacement to the Minicam. So this will be our new Minicam. We're able to make this a little bit more economical. So this will be a little bit cheaper for the end user. One of the ways we did that is we did get rid of the screen. So there's no LCD screen inside of this one. But the setup actually here is quite easy. We had a lot of people that were concerned about us getting rid of the screen, and I showed them. So it's actually easier without the screen because now I can build the interfaces inside the app and I can make them look the way I want them to look. So this just has 5 lights. You turn it on. If they all light up green, you're good to go. If they don't light up green, there's a chart on the inside to tell you why they're not lit up green. But this one, we actually upped that image. So now this one takes a 5-megapixel native image, again, sent to your phone. We're using the best cellular modems we can get our hands on. Truthfully, my cellular modem costs more to buy than some manufacturer's entire camera does. So that's one of the reasons people go, well, why are your cameras a little bit more expensive? It's because I'm using the best components I can find. And so this is our new Minicam. This is it just takes beautiful images. This will still take video up to a 15-second HD video. Does burst modes as well, so you can get burst images. So that's our new Mini. And then this is our new Datacam. And it's a big boy. It's a big boy. But you can see it's got 2 external antennas on it. These are high-power antennas. This has every feature we could cram into it. One of my absolute favorite features is it does burst mode, but it also allows you to set the interval for the burst mode. So what that means is you can set the time between images. So if you're watching a trail, you could set where the deer are crossing quickly. You could set it to take 5 images in 1 second, and it'll pick 5 images of that deer moving in 1 second. So even if he's running, you're still gonna get usable pictures of him. Or if you're watching a feeder, you could set it for 5 images with an interval of 3 seconds. So now I'm covering 15 seconds of time without having to burn up the data used in a video or the time used in a video. This one, again, we have more IR lights on this one. You can routinely see things visible in the image up to about 150 feet away at nighttime. It's just an incredibly powerful flash on it. It does have the removable lithium pack that you can just slam into the bottom like a magazine. So you can go that route. We have solar panels for it. This one, again, is a 5-megapixel native image. This has the most powerful cellular modem in a trail camera, so you're going to get signal where nobody else does. has built-in GPS. I mean, we could do this all day. I've got all kinds of features on this thing. And my favorite, my absolute favorite feature, you can see we have a completely custom camouflage. It's hard to see in the video,
but it's
a completely custom camouflage we made. And it just disappears on the tree. I know it might look a little weird in person, but it is made to resemble tree bark. I don't know why more manufacturers don't do that. But it is made to resemble tree bark. And if you hang this thing on just about any type of tree, it just disappears. So it makes it real hard for people to steal it or for animals to notice it. So these are our new ones. This is going to be a price point somewhere around $200. The mini that you saw should be under $150. I don't set the end prices, so I can't guarantee that, but it'll be under $150 for sure. So we've tried to really think about every detail we can with these. If you get on our website, you'll see our company motto is conserve every detail. And that goes into our data and conserving all the data and let you use that. But it goes into our cameras too. We really got detail focused on these things. So to give you a couple quick examples and then I'll stop talking. On the side of the camera here, we got tired of critters unplugging our cameras. So people would plug in solar panels or external batteries and the raccoon would come along. And since all raccoons are jerks, they would unplug the camera. And so we actually just put a little loop on the side of the camera where you can run your cable through the loop. And now you can't pull the cable out of the camera. It's just a real simple thing, little detail thing that we were able to put in there. Another example, we have a security box that you can put the larger cameras in to prevent mostly theft. They call it a bear box, but I guess if the bear was mad enough, it wouldn't matter. But we have that security box and people got frustrated. There wasn't enough ways to mount the security box. So our new security box has 64 mounting options. If you can't find a way to mount it, I'm sorry. You can mount it on a pole. You can mount it on a tree. You can screw it to a post. You can use a strap. You can use a Python cable. You can use a strap and a Python cable. I mean, so we really wanted to focus on that end user experience. We want this to work for you in your spot because I do not want this to be a throwaway camera. I don't want you buying a new camera to replace this camera next year. If you're going to buy a new camera next year, I want you to buy it and put it alongside this camera next year. That's the goal that we focus on here. So I know that was a lot, but I get excited about these new cameras. I've been running for a few months, and they're my absolute favorite cameras we've ever built. So,
yeah. So let's dive back into the megapixel side of it, because sometimes you lose people when you don't understand like the sensor versus the blown up side of it. So right. Like, let's make sure everybody understands when you say, "Oh, this is 3 megapixel or 5 megapixel." It's not what it's advertised by some people to be.
Sure. And look, we interpolate images as well. So like I said, remember, interpolation is that process of taking a little image and making it a big image. It's a really low-tech version of that. So we do, on our big camera on the data cam, you're capable of interpolating up to 32 megapixels if you want. On the little cam, you're capable of going to 16 if you want. And you'll still get a nice image. But what's happening, like I said, is it's stretching that original image that had 5 million data points. It's stretching that into an image that now has 32 million data points. And so it's got to make guesses in the middle. And it makes good guesses. Like, it still looks like a deer. But if you zoom in, you'll notice that the edges of the deer aren't as clear as they used to be. And so that's why we don't advertise the megapixels. Like, we don't, you won't see megapixels stamped on the front of our box because it just truly doesn't matter. We are sending the clearest image. Our sensor is 5 megapixels native because that's what we needed to be to send you the clearest image. There are plenty of manufacturers, specifically on the cheaper side of the cameras, that one of the ways they could save costs is by using a cheaper sensor. So one of the most common sensors on the market is a 0.3 megapixel sensor. That means that it takes 300,000 data points, 0.3 megapixels, 300,000 data points in every image. But that same camera, they advertise, I think, as a 48 megapixel camera. So they take 300,000, they stretch it to 48 million, and they use a computer to fill in all the gaps. That's a lot of gaps to fill in. I mean, that's like 99% fake, right?
Yeah. And like, I know there's technology out there on the AI side of it to make like these old fashioned photos look a lot better,
yeah.
But that's not what's happening in this scenario. This is just on the camera itself, right?
Yeah, it's on the camera itself, and it's a very old process. We've done it on digital cameras since day one. It's on the camera itself, and it just ends up producing an image that's not as clear. You'll notice things like I'm looking at a nighttime image on my computer right now, and I've got that nice dark black background because it's a nighttime image. And you'll notice on these lower megapixel images, when you see that big black area, instead of it being a nice, consistent, dark black, it looks blocky. It looks like it's a bunch of squares of gray. Yep. And it's because of the way it does that interpolation process. Or the side of the deer, when you see that, when a deer walks by one of our cameras, you can see the fur. Like, you can actually see the grains of the texture of the fur on the side of the deer. On a lot of the cameras, the deer just looks like one flat material. And it's because of the lack of input data. It's a lack of pixels when it first started that image. And so it's a little bit difficult to see sometime in the image, but I always tell people, look at the textures and look at the edges. If you can really see the texture of that deer's fur, if you can see where the deer stops and the grass begins, that's the quality image sensor giving that to you.
Yeah. So that image sensor is almost like what you've got versus is like an HD, like we would watch maybe 4K or something on new TVs versus your standard definition TVs from the past.
Exactly.
Easy comparison. Okay.
Yeah, all of our images are HD by default. So when you have one of our data plans, every image you get is an HD image. Conversely, there are some people that they sell you a little bit cheaper data plan and you pay them for HD requests. So you can request that the little image get blown up into a bigger image. And that's fine. Some people like that model. We don't. I want you to get the HD image. So when you get our default image is already a high definition image. It's over a megapixel in size. You do have the option to request what we call an XL image, which is a full 5 megapixel image into your phone. And it's beautiful. I've got one on my desktop background right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. But yeah, that's the difference. It's a marketing term that people have been drilled with. Oh, I got to have the highest megapixel camera. It's like, well, that camera's not getting you anything because, especially in cell cams, they don't send you the full image anyway. That image is stuck on the card, and most people never pull their cell cam cards. So you're never going to see that image. We have the same kind of misinformation out there around the flashes, around the infrared flash, where some people say, oh, you have to have no glow, you have to have low glow, you have to have this, that, or the other. And it's just become a marketing term that they use to sell cameras, and we're not focused on that. So,
okay. So how much, we talked about the price point of the camera itself, but is there an extra, there's probably some data fees and stuff like that. Yep. So are you familiar enough with that to talk us about it?
Absolutely. So the data fees, we have three plans for most users. That's our base plan, our weekend warrior, and our trophy hunter. The base plan starts at $9 a month. The trophy hunters are most expensive for the first camera is $20 a month. And in the middle, we have the weekend warrior for the first camera is $15 a month. On the weekend warrior and the trophy hunter, when you add an additional camera, you get $5 off. So on the second camera will cost you 10 on the weekend warrior, on trophy hunter, the second camera will cost you 15. We sell you data, and you use the data however you want. So on the base plan, we're selling you 150 megabytes of data. That usually equates to around 750 to 1,000 images. Or a little bit of video. If you want to do video, you can absolutely just do video natively. You don't have to request it. And if you need to add some more data on, you can at any point. You can add a little bit more data to that plan. The Weekend Warrior is a 500 megabyte plan. This will usually get you between 4,000 and 5,000 images. About almost an hour of video, depending on what settings you use. And again, you can have the video sent natively. We don't charge extra for that. There's no extra charge to request XL images or anything like that. And in the big plan, the trophy hunter gets you a gigabyte of data, which is somewhere around 9,000 to 10,000 images, and almost 2 hours of video. So it's that's a lot. Most people never use that much. Our average user only uses about 1,300 images a month, has been our system wide average. Now, if you are one of these ranches or outfitters, or you're just somebody who really likes cameras, you don't have to be an actual ranch or outfitter. If you have a dozen or more cameras, you can get on what we call our ranch program. And our ranch program, we just charge you an activation fee for the camera of like $6 a month, and then you pay for the data as a group on top of that. And so for those ranch users, they're able to typically run a camera for around $7 to $8 a month and have all the same. They can have as much video as they want. They can have as HD image or XL image request. And we're able to do that because once we have that many cameras, we can go to the cell carriers and negotiate better rates. So that's why it's only available for people with a lot of cameras. But that's a little bit of our, we have a full pricing page on our website, wiseoutech.com, that you can go look at it and see the breakdowns of how much video you get with each one. We do not offer an unlimited plan. And the reason we don't is because truthfully, nobody offers an unlimited plan. They're limiting something. They're just not telling you what they're limiting. So There's one of them that limits the number of images you can get per day. They just don't tell you that up front, which I personally find dishonest. Most of them, though, the vast majority of them, they're not being dishonest with you. They just limit the image size. So they know that if you took as many images as you possibly could, you can only use this much data because we limited your image size. And that's okay. That's as long as people understand it up front. We don't do an unlimited plan because our images and videos are just too big to do that. The average user, you get on the Weekend Warrior plan, you'll never need more than that. If you like a lot of video, the Trophy Hunter plan works great. And if you have a lot of cameras, the Ranch plan is the way to go. Where the Ranch plan becomes the cheapest plan on the market if you have a lot of cameras.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at when I was checking out your prices online. I was like, man, it doesn't take long to add up to have a dozen cameras or more.
No.
Having them all on the same plan sounds like a pretty good deal in the long term.
Yeah, having them all in the same place. We're typically not somebody's first cell cam. We're typically their second or third. So they've had somebody else. They got into the cell cam. They loved the cell cam, but they hated something else. Maybe it was the image quality. Maybe it was customer service. And we're usually where they end up after that. Once they've kind of learned a little bit more about the market, we're usually where they end up because they had the same experience as we did. And we tried to solve those pitfalls. So I don't ever want to sound like a bad mouth on the other camera manufacturers. We know all these people. We like all these people. We're friends with these people. They just have a different business model than we do.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I can remember when the cell camera market, it was all in this $400 price range for a cell camera. And I was like, somebody's going to come along and they're going to figure out there's more money to be made on the back end with the plans rather than sending you to Verizon to get your own plan. And they're going to drop the price of these cameras to $150, $120, and they're going to blow the market out. And we saw that happen with the quantity of cameras that another manufacturer sold in recent years. But that seems like it's kind of changed a little bit because there's other options out there. And your all's greatest asset seems to be the predictability and this software that's also included that nobody else has.
Yeah, we view ourselves totally around customer success. So you're right. The money to be made in this industry is in the subscriptions. We don't hide that fact. And that's a good thing for the customer because the only way for me to keep a subscription is to keep you happy. So if I want to keep your subscription, I must keep you happy. So we are not successful unless you are successful. That's why customer service is our biggest focus around here. It's where we spend all of our dollars is in customer service. We have actual humans that answer the phone. I know, I'll wait for you to get over your shock that actual English speaking humans will answer the phone when you call us. You will not hear a computer. There is no press one for English. We all speak bad English, so that's all you'll have the option to get. But when you call, you will speak to one of the Megan Monks. We have two Megan Monks that work in our front office. One Megan Monk is my sister-in-law. The other Megan Monk is my cousin-in-law. And so we're all family here. It's like I said, it's just a different approach to it. It's a different environment. We kind of take the idea of we treat you the way we want to be treated. That's proven to be our best asset is that when you need us, we're here for you. We have one of our users that actually called us. He called one of the owner's cell phones because he had it. When Harold picked up the phone, the guy on the other end goes, see, I told you pick up. And come to find out, he was at the hunting camp with his buddies. And he was just proving that he could call us and get somebody on the phone. And he made a bet with his buddies about that. So,
well, hopefully that transitioned into some sales of some cameras.
We hope so. So that's the thing is we are very focused on you being successful with our product, and you using it the way you want to use it. So we're just enjoying it. We're having a good time. We like getting to know our customers. We know a lot of them on a first name basis. We have hunted with some of them. We chit chat with some of them. We have, our customers have relationships with us. They call us and tell us when they have a sick family member and we pray for them. I mean, it's that kind of business environment around here. So it's a little different.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you have that small niche internal community that you can build a company around and it stays that way, it's just so much more pleasant to deal with. When I call in and be like, hey, Jason, man, I'm having issues with it. It's like, okay, I built it. Let's talk about it.
Right.
And I would imagine with the technological advancements you guys have that there's some training that needs to take place and understanding how to utilize it.
Yeah.
So do you guys have like YouTube videos or how-tos and stuff and how this breaks down?
We do. We have a full set of YouTube videos and how-tos. We're trying to make more all the time. We've actually hired somebody that their sole job in life is to make training materials. I actually just finished putting together the manuals for our new camera. So every camera does come with like a 30-page full color manual, so you can understand it better. That is our constant battle though, and that's the one place that if we have a fault, that's where it is. We've made too much stuff and not educated people on how to use it. So we're trying to come back to that and walk people through it. One of the things we did do on the app, if anybody has our Hunt Control app, that's what our software is called, Hunt Control. Anywhere in the app, you'll see a little question mark at the top right. If you tap that question mark, it'll do a walkthrough of that page and tell you what that page is for and how to use it better. We're trying to get to that. We're trying to do the customer education part now, because the more educated somebody is about the system, the more they tend to like it. So we're really working to pick up that part.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you have these resources and these tools available to you, but you don't know how to utilize it, it's like understanding Microsoft Excel. If you just plug in numbers in Excel, make a chart, that's it. But if you learn how to use macros and micros and all this stuff, these formulas, then you can actually make that formula, that spreadsheet work for you. And I say spreadsheets because my accounting background, I did a lot of spreadsheets and stuff like that. So I used to like that stuff, but most people didn't. Now, with this technology that you guys have, you have an app for it. Can I run everything I need to run with the palm of my hand, or do I need to have the desktop version and go in and kind of critique and change some things?
No, you can run everything in the palm of your hand, or you can run everything on the web version. It was very important to me that we have both. So I am maybe a little bit more old school than some other people my age, but doing everything on the phone to me gets clunky after a little while. Because it's a small screen and I can't. So I like to pop up the desktop and have multiple windows open, and I can do that. But yeah, you can run everything in the palm of your hand. We are working on improving the way you can manage your account from the app. You can do account management now, but we need more. And to be honest with people, the reason that we have some limitations around that is because of the app stores. If I do any type of financial transaction inside that app, Apple or Google wants 30%. And I can't run my business on 30% less, and you won't pay me 30% more. So we have to find workarounds around that. So whenever that's the biggest complaint, somebody goes, "Oh, I couldn't do this." Like, yeah, I know you can't, but it's not me doing it. But yeah, you can do everything involving managing your camera, your data, your predictions, all that's inside the app. And you can do it all from anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else that we should know when we get ready to buy trail cameras this season?
I don't even know. I'm so far buried into this. Look for quality. We are not the only game in town. We are not the only people making good cameras. There are other great manufacturers making great cameras. My advice to everybody is you will get what you pay for, to a certain extent. Like I said earlier, the reason my cameras cost more is because my components cost more. Some of my individual components cost more than entire assemblies with other manufacturers. And so when you look at mine hanging on the rack at $150 next to somebody at $75, there's a reason. There's a reason for that. So look at this as an investment. It's not something you want to rebuy every year. You want something that's going to stick around for a while. There's a few manufacturers that make really good cameras that are going to last. We're one of them. If you have any questions about our camera before or after you buy it, you call us and we'll answer it for you. That's what we're here to do, is support our customers. So we are a customer success company first and a camera company second. So,
okay. One thing we didn't talk about was like kind of like battery life. So you have a higher quality image, higher quality camera. What kind of battery life can you expect, and what are the battery sources, their power sources that you're utilizing?
Yeah. So, battery life for most cameras is going to be around the 2 month range. Okay. And it's on a set of AA's. And that is very fluid. Okay. If you're a guy in South Texas that has a feeder and you get 1,000 images a night, I'm just sorry to tell you, your camera's not gonna last as long because they're just doing so much more work. Right. I can't do anything about the amount of work you're doing, but for most people, they're going to see around a 2 month battery life with AA's. You can hook it to a solar panel. We sell our own solar panel. It's around the $80 price point. The solar panel has a built-in lithium ion battery, 5 amp hour lithium ion battery. With that solar panel, you could pretty much run indefinitely, and you don't need full sun to do it. You need an hour or so of good sun, an hour or two of good sun every day, and you could pretty much run that camera indefinitely. And you can run them together. You can leave the internal batteries in and plug the solar panel in. It will not charge your internal batteries, but they will run. It'll run as a backup, basically. So if your solar panel gets unplugged or destroyed, it'll switch over to your internal batteries. On our new cameras, we also have a lithium pack coming out that you can slide in. It's the most satisfying thing in the world because it slides in just like a magazine. So I like to just sit here and quick load them. But that one, again, is a 5 amp hour lithium battery built in. You can still hook that one to our solar panel. So now you have 10 amp hours of battery, and the solar panel will recharge the internal lithium pack. So that's going to be a fantastic setup on our new data cam. That'll be truly unlimited battery life because it'll recharge. And then last but not least, you can buy a series of cables from us or from Amazon to plug in from our connector to literally any battery on the planet. And so my cameras at my place are actually all running on deer feeder batteries. Because when I put mine up last year, we were out of stock on solar panels. So all of mine are running on deer feeder batteries. If you go buy a $20 deer feeder battery from Tractor Supply and plug it into one of our cameras, you're going to be looking at a 6 to 8 month battery life pretty easily. And you may go, I've had some that go well past a year. It just depends on how well that battery holds up.
And what's the voltage on those batteries?
So everything you plug in is 12 volts. If you plug it into one of our cameras, it's 12 volts.
Okay. That works. Yeah, that battery life's a constant battle when it comes to cellular trail cameras because they're communicating. On the delivery time, once an image or video is taken, is it instantaneous delivery or is it time intervals?
No, it's
how often are we getting it?
So if it's instantly sent and instantly delivered to your phone. So by the time it gets to my server, I'll have it on your phone in 2 to 3 seconds. Now, as far as the actual transmission time, that varies, but typically from trigger time to it being on my server is less than 15 seconds. So these are near real time. Videos, obviously, is going to be different because it's a bigger file, but these are near real time. You can do batch sending. And the reason I point that out is because some people, they want the camera to take as many images as physically possible. And if the camera is stopping to send an image, then it can't take a new one. You can do batch sending. And now it'll go down to a 5 second trigger speed. So you could take theoretically, a bunch more images. You could take whatever that works out to every minute in images. And then you could have it upload those every hour, every 4 hours, or every 12 hours. So that is an option for some people. If you really want a lot of images, that's great. If you're anywhere where the target is moving quickly and you need more images, then do the batch sending. It's not a good recommendation if you're watching a feeder, because that batch is going to become 1,000 images and the camera is going to struggle to maintain that. But if you're watching, it's really popular with turkey hunters watching a field or something for turkeys to cross. Really popular for them to do that. Really popular for people watching trails or to do the batch sending because they want as many images as they can in a short period of time.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Well, man, it's been a pleasure. Like, it's one of these products that, like, I've had my eye on for a while because I knew how much technology you guys had incorporated in the back end that we don't talk about enough. We talk about megapixels and pretty stuff, but we don't talk about the back end of this enough and that predictability. So for this season, like, I got a new baby at home, so my time is limited. So if I can find another tool to increase my efficiency in the field, I have to add it to my arsenal at this stage of the game.
Exactly. So, and we look to be, well, like I said, we look to be a tool for you. We don't want this to be a toy that you throw away at the end of the year. We want this to be a tool that you use multiple seasons, so right alongside your gun and your bow. And so that's our goal. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. I really enjoyed it. I could talk about these cameras for hours. So sorry if I got a little too annoying.
Oh, you're good, man. It's nice talking to somebody that's not trying to sell us a camera, but somebody that's building this technology and this product behind the scenes and knows the inner workings and why you made the changes and the improvements that you did. Where can the consumer find WiseEye cameras and make a purchase?
So our website is WiseEyeTech.com. So that's WiseEyeTech.com, WiseEyeTech.com. You can Google WiseEye or Hunt Control. We'll come up that way too. We're also all over Facebook, so you can search for WiseEye or Hunt Control on Facebook. And we do have dealers nationwide. We're adding them all the time. So again, on our website, you can find a full dealer locator if you want to put your hands on one of these first. you can go that route.
Awesome. Jason, I appreciate you being on the podcast today. I've enjoyed it. I know that our listeners will as well. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Had a great time.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.